You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
Here comes the big dog.
What is up? A very happy Wednesday to you out there listening to this, the Babyface Heel Podcast. The Babyface Heel Podcast, because there's two sides to every storyline. I am the heel. Patrick O'Dowd is the babyface. And Miranda Morales is stuck in the middle, forced to be the referee, the peacekeeper, the tweener, free to choose at sides as she wishes. Of course, when I say I, that is Greg DeMarco. You can follow me all over social media. That's Twitter. That's the Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at ChairShotGreg. You can also follow the website, which is thechairshot.com, at ChairShotMedia. Visit thechairshot.com for wrestling reviews, opinions, and analysis, all done with the attitude that you've come to know and love. But also stay for everything else. We are so much more than a wrestling website at this point. It's sports. It's entertainment. It's sports entertainment. You can find it all at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Of course, this show joins many others as part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which we have typically three shows every single day, dropping at set points throughout the day, including shows like Bandwagon Nerds, the ChairShot Radio. We've got the Hashtag Miranda Show, all shows that the three of us are involved in on a weekly basis. So do check those out, be a part of that. You can tune in on Sundays to ChairShot Radio and hear Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar talk about hockey, because who doesn't love to hear two guys talk about hockey? Like, that's just, who doesn't love that? I mean, still listen to it anyway. Like, seriously, listen to it anyway.
Are you mocking our hockey?
Is that a trick question?
Only time that I hear or think about hockey is when I listen to you and Dave talk about hockey. So no, I'm not mocking it. I do actually listen to it. So that's on Sundays. On Mondays, you can listen to Bandwagon Nerds, where Patrick O'Dowd hosts the Bandwagon. Patrick O'Dowd, I need to talk to you about this. We're just going to do it right now.
Yeah.
Here in
I'm
public.
Not, I don't even care. I don't care. It's 3 hours long and you're going to have to deal with it.
It's like 2 hours long. No, I'm not going to worry about the length of the show.
What's your problem?
We've been doing this. We've been podcasting for almost 10 years, right? You and me.
Okay? Something like that, yeah.
You're the day one-ish. In May, we will do something to celebrate 10 years of podcasting, right? Who knows what? I've got a few ideas. I'm too busy to figure it out. Of course, our 10-year anniversary happens to coincide with the next IZW show, so that's just going to be great, right? But we'll have to figure it all out. Miranda can tell you. Patrick can tell you. My life.
Do a live broadcast podcast from the show.
That's definitely not going to happen. Not with. I don't know if you know this, Patrick O'Dowd, but I run that show. And as much as I pass on to people to do, like Miranda Morales, who's running around trying to collect missing theme songs this week, I definitely am still a chicken with its head cut off during, especially before an IZW event. So that is not going to happen. But we've been at this for 10 years. And there have been times where we have had multiple people on a show, right? And you've seen me many a time make the cardinal mistake of doing this. Hey, what do you guys think about blank?
Oh, you're talking about that moment.
And then no one answers. And the reason why I bring it up is because Patrick O'Dowd did it not once, but twice during the first 10 minutes of Bandwagon Earth. The first was during the open, because he doesn't do what I do. Like, he introduces all three people, and he's like, gentlemen, how are you doing? And basically, here's anybody who's out there who's thinking about podcasting. Okay, I'm going to give you, it's not rule number one of podcasting, but it's rule number like six or seven, okay? If you ask everyone a question, you've asked no one a question. That's a big rule of podcasting, because everyone else thinks someone else is going to answer, unless that one person's chomping at the bit, and you kind of know that because most people do video stuff nowadays. But yeah, just always call on somebody. Just learn from my mistakes, my copious years of mistakes.
No.
Always calling.
I'm used to David Ungar talking for like 3 hours, so I figured he would just jump in as usual. And then that was the one time. My favorite was the second time, though, if you're really going to call one out, where I then was like, all of you nodding is really helpful to answering the question.
That's what I thought about it. That's what I thought about this conversation right here. You said that. You blamed everybody else on the show. And I was sitting there in my car going, that is your fault, Patrick O'Dowd, that everyone is nodding because you didn't throw it to somebody.
I figured with Ray's ego being as huge as it was going into that show, I figured with Dave, I figured we'd have the opposite problem where we talk over each other, especially if you looked at the Bandwagon Nerds chatter. They were all like, we can't wait to talk about this stuff. And so... Sure.
And you're right about Ray's ego. Like, if anybody knows about an out of control ego, it's me. And I definitely, you can tell when Miranda's not paying attention, because she would have laughed at that if she was paying attention. But
she's like checking her phone.
Because I'm actually multitasking as well. As Greg said, I am literally getting music right now.
Continue.
Wait, when's it?
Carry on.
The show's what, on Sunday or something?
Saturday.
When's this show?
Saturday.
You got like five days. What are you worried about?
Okay, you've
don't
been
ask
there.
Question.
You've been there when I've done
don't
this.
Ask okay? him that question.
No, Greg. There. Now let's talk about
our
relationship.
You're the guy who, when I said I had cancer, immediately made fun of it. I know. Okay, I was there. So I.
It's just, who cares if random indie wrestler in Arizona doesn't get the perfect song? Like,
I really hope.
Sorry, I'm kidding.
None of those indie wrestlers in Arizona hear what you just said. That's what I really hope.
Well, here's the thing is, some of those folks have interacted with me and then reintroduced themselves to me later on. So I'm actually not particularly worried about it. Like, I feel pretty safe here in Massachusetts. I will still never forget. I've talked to Dom Vitale. I can't tell you how many times I've met Dom. And then the last time I worked the door at your show, he's explaining to me who he was and why I should let his girlfriend in, or whoever it was. I don't even remember who it was, but like this, and I had to be like, Dom, we've met more than once. Oh yeah, you're O'Dowd. And I was like, I get it. I'm just the dude. Like, I'm a forgettable guy. I'm not really worried about it. Like, and Miranda's gonna come through. Oh, I'm totally forgettable. I was once called not important while receiving a goodbye handshake at a wrestling event.
I remember that.
While true, it was a dick move and shouldn't be done. But anyway,
especially
that guy's
you,
a dick. Like, we've talked about it. That person is a dick.
Yes. Yes. So
he can eat a dick, a bag of dicks.
Okay.
All of the dicks.
Well, this escalated quickly.
No kidding, right?
I've had a bad night. I guess I'm going to own it. Okay. I had a bad night.
The rest of Bandwagon Nerds was outstanding. And so don't even worry about that. By the way, for those of you who are listening out there, the voice you've just been talking to is the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd, who you can follow on the Twitter @WrestlingRealist. That's WreStLNG R-E-A-L-I-S-T. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick for the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. The other voice you've been hearing is that of the Queen of Soft Style, Miranda Morales. She is on Instagram and Facebook, but no Twitter, because she's the Twitterless heroine, at the hashtag Miranda, hashtag is spelled out, and there is an I in Miranda as well. It ain't Twitter, and we're not limited to the number of characters that can be used there. Of course, this show and many others, like I said, are part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can hear them at thechairshot.com. They are also streaming on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and so many more. So head on over there to your favorite platform, like, subscribe, leave us a five-star review, and tell a friend. If you like what you hear, let them know about it. If you don't like what you hear, tell them anyway, let them listen, and then they can tell you what you think, and you can have an engaging conversation about our podcast. Yes, I realize that's never going to happen, but I don't care. I'm going to keep throwing that suggestion out there until somebody does it. So that's where we are. So we've got a fun show planned for everybody here today. We're going to talk about Bob Lashley. I insist on calling him Bob Lashley, even though Rusev isn't a person anymore. Well, he's still a person. He just has a different name. And, you know, for being wasted in WWE, he's now being wasted even more in AEW. But we're going to talk about Bob Lashley. We're going to talk about Sting. And we're going to have some fun on this week's edition of the Babyface Heel Podcast. Miranda, I mean, I think you got to ask me to do something. I don't know.
Yeah, Greg, I know it's been a couple weeks. I need you to wind it up.
Consider it wound.
It's time!
Yes, it is indeed time for you to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/, well, that's slash the chair shot. So you can get your chair shot t-shirt today. You go to ProWrestlingTees.com/the chair shot, and there you can find over 25 different t-shirt designs, all in support of thechairshot.com. And you can specialize your order. You can get different styles, different colors, and they're all fantastic. So you cannot go wrong. T-shirts start at $19.99. If you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/the chair shot, well, you can find an abundance of awesome stuff, including shirts in support of various podcasts, such as A Winner Is You, Bandwagon Nerds, the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt, and of course, Everybody Hates Greg. That also, check out the OG Chair Shot logo. That's one of my favorites. Chair Shot Worldwide, hashtag journalism, hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling, an abundance of amazing t-shirts for you at ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. So go there today and order your Chair Shot t-shirt.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
We are back. Thank you for checking out those commercials, listening to them, just like heading over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That helps support what we do here. So definitely listen to those. We appreciate you doing that, picking up shirts, doing everything that you can for us. So thank you for that. This week, we are talking about some Bob Lashley. Now, if you haven't been paying attention, I can't imagine that you don't know about this. Even if you don't watch, I'm pretty sure you know about this. So Bobby Lashley was running around with the United States Championship, lost said championship at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, however, was not pinned. Matt Riddle pinned John Morrison to become the new United States Champion, freeing Bob Lashley up for what everybody now knows is bigger and better things. After Drew McIntyre is successful in retaining his WWE Championship, which, by the way, is still officially called the WWE World Championship, just want to point that out, in the Elimination Chamber, Bob Lashley attacks Drew McIntyre, opening the door for The Miz to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase, which this briefcase has been through more than any other briefcase. It was won by Otis for some reason that none of us can comprehend at this point in time. At the time, maybe people were behind it now, I don't know. Cashed it in unsuccessfully in December, got it back on a loophole because it was Johnny Nitro Morrison Mundo who handed over the briefcase. And then cashed it in at Elimination Chamber, becoming the WWE champion for a second time. And now setting up a program where he's going to have to defend that thing against Bobby Lashley. And that match is going to happen this week on Raw. Now, to me, what this signals, and if you believe what's out there in the wrestling universe, and of course, you never know what to believe, the going word is that The Miz is not going to be in the WWE Championship match at WrestleMania, but Bobby Lashley is. So, I believe that this signals finally a main event run for one Bob Lashley, and possibly a run with the WWE Championship. Thoughts on Bobby Lashley getting a push, a real big push, because he's gotten a push before, in WWE. Patrick O'Dowd, we will start with you. Thoughts on one Bob. Bob Lashley.
I like that we call him Bob now. I think that's really the first thing.
Thanks to Rusev, Bob Lashley. If we were talking about Robert Roode, he'd have to be Bob Roode, because it's just, thank you, Rusev. Like, that's Rusev's lasting contribution to WWE is Bob.
Yes. I mean, just because Bobby, even, you know, he's Bobby Lashley. Yeah, just didn't work. Look, we've talked about the Hurt Business and how well this has gone as a group on this show. We nominated plenty of them for various of the years and all of our different podcasting ventures. So it's, to me, you're taking one of the most over groups with the arguably the most over guy in the group with the most over mouthpiece out there right now. I'd put him up there well over anybody, even in the WWE, you know, whether it's SmackDown or Raw, because I hate Paul Heyman. But it just makes total sense to give this a try at the main event level and to make this a run at the main event level and to give Bob Lashley that run. He's the heavyweight guy. Like, he's the heavyweight guy. So yeah, I love it. I'm all for it. Well, you two text back and forth and laugh behind my back.
You don't know that. You do know
I
that.
I see how it is. I hear phone buzz while typing.
I was gonna send a text. Reading. I was gonna send a text to tell somebody their phone is vibrating really loud and can be heard on the air. But I didn't send that text yet. So I just said it instead. I agree with you. And I want to focus on something that you said there about the Hurt Business, because to me, this part of this is really a credit to the Hurt Business and what MVP has done in the Hurt Business, and that I've said it so many times and no one listens. You guys listen, okay? But when I say no one listens, I don't mean you guys. WWE booking is a cycle. You ups and downs, and to be successful in the WWE, you've got to manage the ups and downs. Orton's gone through it. Edge has gone through it. So many people. Some people get the rocket ship right away and never come back down, right? But others don't. Look at AJ Styles. He's done it. Okay. Bobby Lashley has been somebody who's done that. He came in, he was hot, he got hooked up with Lio Rush, which, by the way, vastly underrated partnership and manager situation there. I really enjoyed that. Kind of wish he was part of the Hurt Business as, like, you know, Kevin Hart and Next Friday or whatever. Like, that would just be really funny. But Lio Rush wants to be taken seriously despite being 5'4" tall. But it's really like that. Bobby Lashley has ridden those ups and those downs. He left, he became successful, he fought, he was, you know, TNA World Heavyweight Champion. He did all these things and he came back in WWE and he was getting a push, and then he was in this stupid storyline with Rusev and Lana, even though it was all their idea and creative let him run with it. And even that was the main event of Raw for like a month and a half. Every week was whatever was going on in the Rusev, Lana, and Bobby Lashley storyline. And he was bringing in ratings. That's the funny part. Even though everybody hated it so much. And then he managed some more downs, and then the Hurt Business happened. And in WWE, if you stay ready when the opportunity presents itself, you can cash in on it. Cesaro just said in an interview. Cesaro just said he was asked in an interview recently if he considered leaving before he signed his new contract. And he said, you have to explore all options, but I decided to stay home and be ready when the next opportunity comes up. That's the key to success in WWE. And Bob Lashley is ready. And guess what? That opportunity is here now. And I'm really excited about it. Miranda, thoughts on the push of Bob? I might call this episode that. You know, I was subtitled the episode. The push of Bob might have to be.
The push of Bob. The push of yes. Bob. I really like this. I feel like you're right. The timing is there, the opportunity. And I also feel like this is a product of the empty arena, quote unquote, era that not having a crowd has allowed some of these stories to develop in ways and pushes of people in ways that you're able to give it some time. You're able to give it the proper time it needs to nurture. And I think there has been a big fan base that has wanted this push for Bobby Lashley for so long. But I also think other components about who's been champion at that time has played a role in it, where Bobby Lashley was on the card. And when you think about what WWE has done, especially with Drew McIntyre this past year, has really built up the next big star. And they can kind of easily replicate that, kind of knowing what has worked with Drew McIntyre. They can do that with Bobby Lashley. And you also do have the Hurt Business, who have created such a solid foundation as a group that it only adds to the legitimacy of Bobby Lashley. And it will also, I mean, if he becomes champion, will add to the legitimacy of the Hurt Business as one of the best factions in the modern era, period. I feel like we could say that already, but just adding him as champion to that would just solidify that even more. So I think that WWE isn't even really getting a lot of credit in the stars that they've helped build and building new stars over this almost past year due to COVID and empty arena shows. I feel like they've done that, and you know, fans will always look at what is missing and what they're still not doing. But I feel really optimistic about this as well, that he could have a good reign. And it's also smart that they take the title off of Drew and put it on The Miz to kind of have this transition happen. So you have the build up at WrestleMania, and you could even have Lashley win and have more of a longstanding feud with Drew and Lashley. And that could really run a good part of the year. And if they do it right, could be one of the best feuds we see, not only in the entire year, but in quite some time. So it leaves a really high level of optimism for me. It leaves, you know, just seeing how someone with patience and also just timing and all these factors coming together for the right thing.
So
you got it all wrong.
So I'm glad you said
that. Got it all wrong.
What do you mean?
What did I get wrong?
Because we all know that this was really just a top secret WWE ploy to bury Drew McIntyre and push the kiss ass Miz to the top, followed by
this
then
is not
burying
the episode about
Bobby
the
Lashley.
No, well, I mean, really, it's
because
setting
all
up
the WWE does is ruin everything. They suck at everything, don't you?
No, we're getting the title versus title match between Miz and Bad Bunny because all the
that's going to be money.
Exactly, they're only interested in the money. So that I see what you're going at, Pat, but really that's what
this
is about.
Mr. the irrelevance of Bad Bunny, who was the musical guest on Saturday Night Live, because you know he's totally irrelevant and nobody knows who he is. No idea. Nobody
cares. Did he have his title on Saturday Night Live?
He did have it.
Yeah.
Okay. good.
Yeah, he had it on one of his songs.
That's beautiful. That's what we need to see. So I'm glad you said the things you said, Miranda, because I want to go into that a little bit, because here's the likely scenario. I wouldn't be surprised if Bob walks out of Raw next week as the WWE champion. It could happen at Fastlane. I kind of hope it happens on Raw because more people watch, right?
Yeah.
There's a very good chance he then loses to Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, because this year has been about the establishment of Drew McIntyre. I still firmly believe, despite the episode of Chair Shot Radio Patrick and I did a couple weeks ago, that they want to push Drew McIntyre as a megastar in this company, and he's about to win his third world title, probably at WrestleMania. Now, I've said it before, right? It's kind of a rule to me in WWE. You're not truly winning a world title in WWE doesn't mean much, right? Jack Swagger, the Great Khali, Jinder Mahal.
Say it.
Jinder Mahal. Yep,
there you go.
Mahal. Duh. That hurt you a little bit.
Of course it does. They've all been WWE champion once. And I even said it when Rey Mysterio won his third. I said, that's an achievement. To me, winning a third world title is an achievement. And they're going to do that to Drew in a year, which is, you know, again, WWE reigns are what they are. But I honestly think that's what we're headed towards. So if Bob gets a 6 to 8 week reign with the WWE championship, Patrick, is that good or bad?
I don't think it's bad. I think it's more, we've talked about this before. It's just what happens next after he loses it. It's less about the reign itself, because as I was joking about how fans are, like, if he has a 6 to 8 week run, there's going to be those out there who are going to be like, what's the point? Blah, blah, blah. It was so terrible. And it's not really about that. It's about the story they tell leading up to the match and then the stories they tell afterwards when they lose. And can they continue that momentum and continue to be the strong character, because it's about character, that they were getting the title? And out of, you know, some of those other names you named, how strong was the character after they lost that belt? And the answer is not very. So that to me is what's like the success. I think with MVP as the mouthpiece, with Bob Lashley, who has gotten better at talking, he's not the complete black hole of talk that he used to be, that they have the opportunity to build something, to lose, and then take another step and be bigger if this keeps going the way that I think it can and should. Because I love what the Hurt Business has done, and I think that they will keep going for a while. So, yeah, I think it'll be fine. I think if he loses, it'll be fine. And I think that not fine as in bandwagon nerds fine. It'll be fine as in he'll move forward. And the WWE is going to, if this Hurt Business thing keeps going the way it's going to go, they're going to continue to invest in that. Mm-hmm. And that'll lead to another title run, maybe a SummerSlam-ish time to get a victory. Maybe even one of those one-off pay-per-views that we don't even think about, like where he comes out of, they love doing that.
Payback, so, weekend after SummerSlam again.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
You bring up a really good point about, you know, what they're doing. So, question for you, Miranda. Bob's 44, and we know what the internet loves to talk about with people's ages. He's older than John Cena. He's older than Brock Lesnar. And yet, no one seems to care. Given where he's at in his career, and he looks like he could go for much longer, does he need this? Like, not even does he need this, because I think that's a dumb question. I think he does need this. What will this do for him, like legacy-wise, just like his career in general? Like, does he need – I guess that does he need this to truly cap off his wrestling career?
I mean, I think in a way, yes. I think it's that one final attainable that he needs to really cap off his career as someone who's gone full circle, full cycle with the company, someone who was there, left, established himself in other companies, established himself in, you know, the world of MMA, and came back, and, you know, capturing the one thing that seemed to elude him for quite some time, something that fans have felt that he should have been in the picture for quite some time, especially against Brock Lesnar. You know, he was the one name constantly mentioned as someone that fans would like to see and someone who would be formidable against Brock Lesnar. Maybe that's still in the cards as well, and this is help establishing that. But I do think that I'm sure for him personally, I'm not sure, but I do feel like, you know, in a fan's perspective, this is kind of the missing piece. You know, he's also part of a successful faction. You know, he's really done a lot and has come full circle. And I think that will really validate just all of the what fans and even the company, the faith they have in him, and even someone of his age. I mean, age is talked about a lot, but also he is in a career prime. He's in a physical prime. Like, why does his age matter when he is that damn good?
Agree 100%. And being off the road so much, I think, helps as well. It's interesting because, you know, he was TNA World Heavyweight Champion, which is what may be equivalent to like being United States Champion in WWE. Right now, it's equivalent to being Cruiserweight Champion in WWE, but that's Rich Swann's
That's
fault.
Another story.
Rich Homie Swann.
That's cold.
We got opinions on that.
Hey, man.
We'll save that for another day.
He about to go over Moose. So I'm just saying, he about to go over Moose. So then he's just going to lose to Kenny Omega, who will probably throw the belt in the trash can because that's what they think of it. But again, whole nother topic for a whole nother edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show, not even this week. So the last thing about this that I want to bring up, and it's just a personal thing for me, being someone who has lived their entire life, because these kind of things don't really change, as 100% Italian, people love to throw the mob, the mafia, whatever at you. I love that tie-in that's happening right now. Like The Miz made a deal with the devil, and now he's got to pay it back. And what I love about the way they've positioned Bob Lashley is I think, and maybe it's my playlist, I'll acknowledge it, but I think we're about to see the destruction of The Miz next week on Raw, like when Brock Lesnar beat the crap out of John Cena at SummerSlam to win the WWE Championship the way he did. I think, because The Miz don't need to be competitive. Like, The Miz is established, all right? I talked about it on the Tuesday morning edition of Chair Shot Radio. He's the first ever two-time Grand Slam winner. Like, he's done it two times over. Right, not a Tiger Slam, not a Serena Slam. This is like the Grand Slam. WWE, The Miz has been around for 17 years. Longer than the same amount of time that Bob Lashley's been wrestling, by the way. And so getting destroyed by Bobby Lashley ain't going to hurt The Miz, but it would help even more Bobby Lashley. I almost feel like we're making up for lost time with Bobby Lashley right now because of what you guys both said. Like, it's been a long time coming. But I love that mafia business, and it fits in with the Hurt Business so well. That tie-in where it's like, you made your deal, now you got to pay, and I think that's what we're going to see next week. So it's just personal for me. I don't know if Patrick go first, but any thoughts on that? But I just love the way that's playing in, and I think it's a new wrinkle that can continue with the Hurt Business long after Drew McIntyre wins the belt back at WrestleMania.
It's also just a good comeuppance for The Miz in terms of a story to tell. Like what you just told there is a fun story, because let's be honest. Did you all watch the Little Miz video after he won the belt where he was all like, "Ew, people, I don't want The Miz to win the title." Like, it's totally like, we're going to crush this dude, and fans will love it because of who it's happening to. And, you know, he got his wish and now it's getting taken away. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it would be a lot of fun. And people want to see The Miz get the shit kicked out of him. He is just the quintessential chicken shit heel that you want to see get a beat down. But he just does it with attitude and flair. And, you know, he's not the honky tonk man. He's going to be the chicken shit, but he's going to be brash about it. And he's going to love every minute of how awesome he is. And you're going to want to see him get killed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I agree completely. Miranda, any thoughts on the same stuff with the mafia tie-in, the way that Miz is going to get it handed to him? Do you think maybe they don't? Maybe he weasels his way around and escapes and has to defend it at Payback or at Fastlane.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would love to see a big title change on Raw. That's something, it's a rarity, and it feels like a special moment when that happens. And so if they do that, I think it only enhances this moment and how really there's a huge, you know, changing of the guard with the championship when you have it on Raw. So I would prefer to see it on Raw. I understand if they wait till Payback because they have, gives them a little bit more time to build up the story. But I also, I mean, at this point, we all know Miz is just a transitional champion. And it just, whether it's next week or a few weeks from now, time is up for him. So why not kind of make it shorter? And as Patrick mentioned too, it's very much of a comeuppance on all the things that he's done. I mean, how he even won Money in the Bank, how he even got to this point is a lot of that chicken shit tactics. And to be able to almost, you know, that cosmic karma, that deal with the devil of you wanted it so bad, but what was the price that you paid for it? And that's really, I mean, what the Hurt Business is about, strictly business. And anyone else that gets, you know, anyone that gets in their way pays that price. But they're smart about it too. You know, it's a means to an end. They knew that they had a better shot of getting that championship as Miz being champion than Drew McIntyre. So, I mean, I just love how all of this has played out. And if anyone can do as far as, you know, getting the crap beat out of him, it's Miz. He does have a great acting comical sense, great expressions, great selling. You know, I think if anyone on the roster is going to sell this as best as it could be, it's going to be the Miz. So I feel like it's only going to make Bobby look like a million plus dollars in this. So I'm excited. I would probably watch Raw specifically for this, in this anticipation of what is going to happen. And I have a feeling other fans would too. And that's why I think it would be great to have this happen on Raw. It's just one of those big moments that gets you hyped up on watching Raw. And maybe that could also help in the road to WrestleMania. It gets people interested in watching Raw on a weekly basis again, as you head in that direction.
You know, I agree with everything you said there, but I think you can get some more mileage out of the Miz trying to weasel his way out of it and trying to you know, avoid what's coming, so to speak. And I think that there's definitely some mileage there. So I could see that. I could see a lot of it. So lots of good things and more topics to come. You know, they did this little interlude where Braun Strowman tried to work his way into the match. And Patrick O'Dowd, this will start with you. This is like a bonus question, right? How excited are you for Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania? Because that's got to be where we're headed at this point.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit.
How excited are you for Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania?
Oh, Shane McMahon.
Oh, God.
Your favorite wrestler.
I don't hate Shane McMahon. Like, I'm tired of seeing him take bumps. I like the guy's got a family, to quote Heath Slater. He's got kids. Stop it, man.
So does Bob. Bob's got three of them.
But anyway, whatever. It's fine. Like that's a Patrick O'Dowd bandwagon nerd. It's fine. Like it's fine. Just play the K thing or whatever. Like,
I came to
okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
The babyface heel of the week is our time to take a look at one of wrestling's most famous or infamous personalities from yesterday or today and decide how they were better as a babyface or as a heel. This week's babyface heel of the week, obviously, as you heard there, is none other than the icon Sting. Miranda Morales, will start with you. Sting, better off as a babyface or a heel?
And of course you would start with me, because now I'm wondering, like, what constitutes Sting as a heel? And is some of the TNA work considered heel?
There was a week or two in WCW.
I don't even remember. It could
be people who were never a heel, but we think would have been better as a heel. So
yeah, I mean, it's hard. I think that makes it so hard for me to visualize him as a heel, because there just wasn't lots of glimpses of that. I mean, Sting was the baby face that represented WCW for so long in all his iterations. And, you know, he's synonymous with that company. And so for me, I can only imagine him as a face. And I'm sure there were, of course, you had those moments and glimpses of him as a heel, but, you know, his career, everything about him, whether it's Surfer Sting or Crow Sting, you know, he was able to really modify what a face looked like in his time in WCW. And it was kind of, you know, pretty revolutionary, because even before you had kind of anti-heroes like Stone Cold and The Rock, you had this evolution of Crow Sting, which was more of a loner who, you know, people didn't understand, but he morphed what I think people became a little bit synonymous with, you know, this 90s vision of what a face looked like. And so that I completely contribute to him. And I mean, that's huge for someone in his legacy and his career. So, I mean, face all the way.
Patrick O'Dowd.
So, to echo a lot of what Miranda, it's really just hard to imagine him as a heel. And the few times that he did sort of dip his toe into those waters, he looked uncomfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. It's weird, because if we were to talk about, you know, Hulk Hogan, and that's going to be kind of my comparison.
We'll
here.
Get there someday. Hulk, we'll get there. We'll get on that one someday. Like,
yeah,
that might be a whole episode.
Like Hulk Hogan thought about it. The decision's harder is what I guess I'm saying, is because like Hulk Hogan wasn't sure about turning heel, then did it, and it turned out great, and he did it great. And so then it makes it harder for me to be like, well, which Hulk Hogan do I prefer? I just, you know, Sting went dark, like Miranda said, in doing the Crow gimmick and the way that was built leading up to the worst Starrcade finish ever. But he was still like, he was still the good guy. Like, even when it was like, where does his loyalty lie? Everybody knew where his loyalties lie, because his feelings were hurt over War Games. So at the end of the day, he's always been a face on television and in those roles that you've seen more frequently. And so it's really hard to kind of put him in there. It's like, I know, here, I'll use another comparison. I know Ricky the Dragon Steamboat can be a great heel because he did it outside of what you saw him on television, but you never saw that on television. And so it was always this quintessential babyface thing. And that's the same thing I have with Sting, is like, he's a better babyface because the one or two times he tried to do it and it was televised, that where I could see it, wasn't very good. And he just didn't look comfortable doing it. And he was so good, whether he was a Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior knockoff, you know, late 80s, early 90s character, and until he transitioned into the Crow Sting. And when he got to like Crazy Sting and TNA and the Millionaires Club, or not the Millionaires Club, I can't remember what it's called, and
Joker
and,
Sting.
Impact.
Joker Sting.
Well, no, there was Joker Sting, but he was part of the
Main Event Mafia.
Like his main event mafia thing, he always felt out of place with that group,
yes,
with Steiner and Nash, and it was just weird. And so maybe it's just my own weirdness, quote, you know, or my own weird feelings about it. But yeah, I just don't think he was very good at it. So I go face Sting all the way, and probably Crow face Sting to be completely blunt.
I mean, Surfer Sting is vastly underrated, and Joker Sting mm-hmm. is probably even more underrated. Like Joker,
it Sting wasn't bad.
It was not bad at all. I like Joker Sting, and mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I agree, babyface all the way for Sting. Here's the thing: we've talked about this, And Patrick O'Dowd will immediately remember the quote that I'm about to say, and he can probably say it in his head or say it with me right now. Sting's a guy. It's something that I've said all along. Like, Sting, is, as a human being and the business, kind of been a pushover. Like, he should have gone over Triple H at WrestleMania 31. He should have put his foot down. He didn't. Like, as a human, that's just kind of where he is. And that's why I think the heel stuff just never really worked. I just don't think he can personally buy into the character and play it. I don't think he has that motivation within him to play that character. And so for me, I agree 100%. I think because of who he is and his inability, like, he has range, but he only has range as a babyface. He doesn't have range that includes being a heel, which kind of, if you think about the wrestling business, puts him a notch below a guy like an Edge. Believe it or not, like, in terms of maybe all-time greats, because Edge excelled at both, and Sting can't. And I really put them in the same category. If WCW continued, I could have seen a guy like Edge being a big signing over there and being one of their huge stars. I just really could. Obviously, you couldn't call him Edge, so that would be the hard part, but that's neither here nor there. I babyface all the way with Sting as well. And I knew we were going to go that direction, but that's, you know, sometimes it's just what we have to do. And I think it's now, you know, Sting is prevalent. This is a good reason to talk about Sting. And that is where we are. So we're all in agreement. Babyface Sting.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here.
Now, the point of this show was not to talk forever about The Miz, but I do want to talk briefly about The Miz because of a story that came out that I just love. And I mentioned it on the Tuesday morning edition of Chair Shot Radio, but I want to bring it up here because in a rare burst of great journalism, Sportskeeda managed to snag an interview with Angry Miz Girl, who is now apparently Happy Miz fan because she is excited that The Miz is now WWE champion, thinks he's one of the best characters in the company and is nothing but a huge fan of The Miz right now. And obviously she got to come backstage. She met The Miz after all that happened when Angry Miz Girl took off. Of course, she was like 12 at the time and now she's like 22. So there's a big difference. But thoughts on just The Miz and the way that people look at him and the appreciation that he has received and the appreciation that he doesn't receive and maybe the appreciation that he'll never receive. Patrick O'Dowd.
I mean, you know how I feel about The Miz. I freaking love the guy. I think that his evolution and development from where he started as being that dude in the stands that was like a hype guy to cutting some of the best. He's just cut some of the best promos in the last 10 years. As you look at the span, like, people love Daniel Bryan and he cut the best promo on Daniel Bryan that I've ever seen in my life. And anybody who says otherwise is kidding themselves. Like, the guy, we talk about it. He's got it. I think people who dislike him or say they dislike him, they dislike his character. And there's those people that have this weird convoluted notion as to what type of wrestler is quote unquote sort of allowed to make it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this weird mentality amongst IWC folks and probably some wrestlers too. And it's funny. It's probably because I just listened to Arn Anderson on his podcast talk about this, like that you only can pay dues by like working the indies and doing, you know, going from like gym to gym and pulling up all the way through. And yeah, that's very honorable and noble and a great way to do it, but that's not the only way to do it. And, you know, there's always this weird sort of concept for people like The Rock, Roman Reigns, The Miz, these guys who, because they didn't go through this certain sort of path, don't deserve the accolades or the success. And can't really appreciate him. Randy Orton's another good example. Took fans forever to embrace that guy. And he's worked for what he's gotten. And The Miz is the same way too. I love him. I think he's great. I look forward to his Hall of Fame induction speech. Good on The Miz.
Miranda, what do you think?
You know, Patrick made a good point about what fans constitute as success or what they feel like constitutes success. And I would also add to that is they have selective memory. They want to remember certain things and forget others. And I think it also aligns too with, you know, the pathway that people get to the WWE. I think people still to this day remember and recall him as being this reality TV star that landed in WWE, and don't, and they have not shook that off for 70 years, for a long time, even though, you know, he's been with the company for so long, even though he's, you know, twice a triple crown champion, all of the accolades, all of the success, people still look at him as just this, you know, reality star that somehow warmed his way in WWE. And even someone who, you know, paid his dues as far as doing different roles, you know, hosting and wrestling and commentary. But if anything, it also shows how much of, you know, how talented he is in all of those roles. So they want to remember those key things and then forget other things that he's done, you know, great feuds and people he's helped elevate, and those moments where really he's been used as a catalyst for great feuds. So that's why I'm kind of shocked that people are so worried about him now, because really his first win was just to really help build out, you know, Rock versus Cena. So, and that's a role he's done well. And so why are we reading so much into this when we know that he's really being used to help catapult this next feud? And there's nothing wrong with that. There absolutely isn't. And he's one of the perfect people to do that with. So I feel like it's a case of selective memory where people are stuck on these finite small details that happened so long ago. You know, people still carry resentment that he was, you know, Daniel Bryan's mentor. You know, I feel like those are things people still have ingrained in their memories. And I feel at this point they're never going to get over it. So, you know, fine, we're going to get over it, but at least acknowledge the good work that he has done, the growth that he's had, and really the utilization of him as the in the company is a rare one. And he plays it well, and the company uses him well.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's very underappreciated by the fans, but there's a reason why the fans are in the crowd and not behind the scenes, because The Miz has proven time and time again to be the ultimate utility player, the ultimate whatever WWE needs. He pulls it off, and he pulls it off with flying colors. He's one of the few people that can go from, you know, feuding and getting his ass handed to him by Bad Bunny to being WWE champion, to getting his ass whooped by Bob Lashley, doing right back into a feud with Bad Bunny, which is exactly what's going to happen during this road to WrestleMania, and be one and probably come out better because of it. And you talk about Daniel Bryan. Everyone likes to talk about how Daniel Bryan was, you know, built by Ring of Honor and all that. Patrick O'Dowd and I have spent, you know, countless hours in a Ring of Honor show waiting for Daniel Bryan to come out and wrestle as Bryan Danielson, and loved every second of it. That had nothing to do with Daniel Bryan's success in WWE. The Miz had far more to do. If you talk about the two people most successful for Daniel Bryan's success are The Miz and Kane, and Triple H would be the third. Like, that's, you know, sorry, IWC, but that's just the truth. The Miz is a big part of that. Even when Dolph Ziggler, when they were trying to resurrect his career, who was it against? It was against The Miz. The Miz, by the way, has more indie experience than Dolph Ziggler, even though Dolph Ziggler was the internet darling for years. The Miz actually worked the indies. People just don't remember because it was in Southern California that nobody was paying attention to at the time, because if it's not PWG, nobody really knows what it is. And they didn't exist back then. So for The Miz to come up the way he did, and whatever, at this point, if people don't appreciate The Miz, that is on them, and there's really nothing that we can do about it. It's a shameful thing. It is a shameful thing indeed that people feel the way they do about The Miz. Shameful indeed. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Babyface Heel Podcast. Again, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Follow the website, thechairshot.com. Sports entertainment and sports entertainment. At Chairshot Media on all of your forms of social media. iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, so many more. Like, subscribe, leave us that 5-star review. Patrick O'Dowd, you can find him at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. Patrick, I've done 4 straight editions of the Nerd Review, and knew you all have. Along what those were going to be. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And so now people have to get away from the heist movies for a week and longer.
Well, for multiple weeks, we got a whole new series of movies coming out. Yeah. We're going into the world of kaiju and covering the new Godzilla movies, mm-hmm. that are coming out and have come out in the recent King Kong movie, Skull Island, that came out. Those are our next weeks because we're trying to build it to the debuting on HBO Max Godzilla versus King Kong movie that Dave and I will review the week it drops on HBO Max. So hopefully we time it out right. So a lot of kaiju big battle sort of stuff with Godzilla and King Kong, not the wrestling promotion. So that's what's coming on the Nerd Review this week.
Excellent. Very excited about that. So check that out and maybe you'll learn something. You can also follow along with Miranda Morales on Instagram and Facebook, not on Twitter, at the hashtag Miranda. Miranda, what can we expect on this week's edition of the hashtag Miranda Show?
Well, we are going to be talking about the kick that changed the world of NXT, the implosion of the Undisputed Era. We are finally going to be talking about it.
I can't wait.
Hashtag Pat was right.
Fuck you, Pat. Whoa.
I cannot wait. Cannot wait. I'm so excited. I am so excited. Awesome. Well, check that out Thursday over at thechairshot.com. That's tomorrow for those of you listening on Wednesday. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you being a part of all this. You can follow me on all of your forms of social media at ChairShotGreg. Obviously, lots of ways to follow along. I get questions all the time about health and leukemia and all that stuff. So that's where you get the most of those updates come on Instagram. I keep trying to put one on Facebook because I get people asking there who either don't have Instagram, don't follow, don't care, whatever it is. But I'll try to get out there too. So until then, until next week when we'll talk about who the heck knows, I'll probably bask in my own glory of a successful wrestling event. But I am very excited about that. Very glad that you all are here with us this week. Excited for you to be here with us next week. Until then, for Patrick O'Dowd, for Miranda Morales, I am Greg DeMarco, reminding you to always use your head.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
I just pressed a button. I don't know. I just pressed a button. It was there. That's what I pushed. Don't give me that look. All right. Don't give me that look, Pat.
It was so fucking random. That was so random.
Sorry. I'll end the show with this instead. You know, just...
Yeah.
I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to Jinder Mahal for what I said earlier in the show.
Jesus.
Please forgive me. There's no bigger fan of Jinder Mahal than myself.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.